Jesus, still in his discourse, or I don't know what to call it, with the Pharisees. And last week, he reminded us that the truth shall make us free, and that the Pharisees were not following the truth, but they were trusting, of course, in their heritage and their works to get them to heaven. And remember, he said in verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. So he says, I recognize that you're Jews. And so now he pretty much puts the final nail in their coffin, if you will. Verse 38, I speak that which I've seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So your father, the devil, is our title. Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now to teach us, Lord, to grow us, Lord, to help us, to help others see how important it is that they find Christ, that they find the new birth through the gospel, that they might have you as their father. And so, Lord, we thank you for the privilege to meet here and open your word together. Use it in our lives now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, of course, really they're revealing their hearts to him by saying, Abraham is our father. They believed that because they were Jews, because they were descendants of Abraham, that all was good. And they thought that because they were Jews and because they were followers of what the Pharisees and scribes had been teaching, that that made God their father. Now the world, a lot of people in the world have this same misconception, that by virtue of just creation, God is our father. He is not. He's our creator and he is our God, but he is not our father until we are his children. And we're not his children until we're adopted into his family by God himself. So he makes it very clear that being a descendant of Abraham would not get them to heaven. And that of course, is not what they wanted to hear. And was the number one dissension with Jesus from the very start, was they had to repent. They had to get right. And they had to accept who he was. So look at a couple verses there. Verse 33, Jesus said, when they answered him, they say, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage in a man. How sayest thou then, ye shall be made free? So they're, again, they're drawing upon their heritage to Abraham. Verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? So notice they keep referring to him as our father Abraham. We're descendants of Abraham. We're Jews. We're true Jews. And that in their minds made things okay. Now there was another discourse in Matthew chapter 3, if you want to turn there, over the same argument. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Actually, starting in verse 7. This is right after Jesus was baptized. It says, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So he told them, this is the very beginning of his ministry, right after his baptism. And he said, don't think that claiming Abraham as your father makes things okay. It doesn't. And again, he's emphasizing there the need for repentance, which was his main message. So back to our passage, verse 41, Jesus says, you do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. There's two things in this verse. First is the blasphemous implication that Jesus Christ is an illegitimate child. That's exactly what they're saying. That Mary and Joseph would have had relations before they were married, and that made Christ illegitimate. And that's what they meant. Pretty sad. But if you go back to Malachi chapter 2, the second thing that they are claiming is that by virtue of being Jews and being created humans, that made the Heavenly Father everyone's father. Now, Malachi is filled, we're going to see when we get here, filled with these crazy statements of the Jews. But one of them they made here in chapter 2 of Malachi, verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? So, have we not all one Father? The answer is no. As Jesus is about to teach them. But see, this is their wrong thinking. Have we not all one Father? So, go back to our passage. Jesus said here in verse 42, if God were your Father, that's an if, then ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So it's saying, if God was your Father, then you would accept my message, you would accept who I am, and you would love me. Because I came from the Father. The very Father that you claim as your own. And so we understand that the only way God can be our Father is if we are his children. And that, as we saw back in John chapter 1, let's turn there, requires faith in Jesus Christ. Notice verse 11 of John 1. He came unto his own. That is talking about the Jews. And his own received him not. So again, it's coming down to receiving Christ for who he is. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So he came to the Jews and they rejected him. And yet he's here also prophesying that then the Gentiles received him and became children of God. And if you look around the world today, what percentage of God's children are Jews? It would definitely be less than 1%. How sad. So a very prophetic statement of our Lord. Now look at Romans chapter 8, if you would, verse 14, where we find that we must be adopted into God's family by faith to claim God as our Father. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So notice that the Spirit must be involved. the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. And of course, Paul tells us in Galatians 3, we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26. So we must be adopted into God's family to be His child. What that means is, back to our passage, verse 44, the key verse, what that means is, until that happens, the devil is our father. We don't want to hear that, of course. And the Jews definitely did not want to hear that. But Jesus had been saying it, not directly, but he had been saying it up to this point. And then finally he just told them here in verse 44, you're of your father the devil. But if you go back to verse 23, he had already begun to tell them here in John 8. He said unto them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. So you're from beneath, talking about hell. And then over in verse 38, he said, I speak that which I've seen with my father, and ye do that which ye've seen with your father. At this point, they don't know what he's talking about. Verse 41, ye do the deeds of your father. And then verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He says, your father is the devil. So the devil. The Bible has a lot of names for the devil. This is one of them. I'll just quickly read them off. He's called Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, in Matthew 12. And I'll do them alphabetically. In Revelation 20, he's called the dragon. In 2 Corinthians 4, he's called the god of this world. In Isaiah 14, he's referred to as Lucifer. Revelation 12, he's the old serpent. Matthew 12, he's the prince of the devils. Ephesians 2, he's the prince of the power of the air. And in John 12, he's the prince of this world. 1 Peter 5, he's Satan. Isaiah 14, he's the son of the morning. Ephesians 2, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. 1 Thessalonians 3, he's the tempter. And in 1 John chapter 2, he is the wicked one. That's a sampling of his names, but those names reveal a lot about his character, don't they? A dragon, the tempter, the wicked one, and the prince of this world, and so forth. So what he's saying is, that is your father. I mean, they know who Satan is, but Satan isn't described a lot in the Old Testament, is he? He shows up a little bit. But Jesus now is teaching them some things about the devil, about Satan. Yeah, they had Isaiah 14:12, Lucifer, the son of the morning, and they had Ezekiel, which talked about him being the cherub, the anointed cherub that covereth. But they didn't have a lot. They had Job, where we see Satan appearing before God there in chapter 1. But a lot of what we know about the devil is in the New Testament, which they didn't have. So Jesus is teaching them that not only is he the evil one that, well, they didn't know about him deceiving all the angels yet, but he's actually your spiritual father. You're his followers. You just don't realize it. And so he explains it here in verse 44. And the lusts of your father ye will do. Because he's your father, you do his ways. You do his lusts. And so let's look at Ephesians 2 and understand this. What he's saying is that before we're saved, we do what is natural for us to do. Because our nature is evil. Notice Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It's natural for us to sin. By nature we do the wrong thing and we sin against God. And that's what Jesus is saying. The lusts of your father. You are like the devil in that you sin. And sin is natural. Go to 2 Peter 1 and we'll see that when we get saved, we get a second nature. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Which is why we fight a battle every day. Because now we have two natures. Before we're saved, there's no battle, is there? We just do what's natural. But once we're saved, now the Holy Spirit's moved in. Now we're a new creature. But we've still got the old man too. And so we've got two natures. 2 Peter 1, 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The divine nature, God's nature. How's that possible? Because God's moved in. He lives in us. We're his temple. Jesus saying, you're just following your father. You're sinners. Your father's the devil. And we'll finish there in verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The father of it. So, when did it start? Well, it started in heaven. Of course, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. And then it spread into the garden, didn't it? The lies. So Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So this is something that happens in the middle of the tribulation period when he's no longer allowed to accuse. But notice he says he deceiveth the whole world. He's a deceiver. That was in verse 9. Jesus says he's a liar. Here he's called the deceiver. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 that he's blinded people's minds with lies. But this started in Genesis 3 for us, for humanity. Let's go back there. He was a liar before that, but from our perspective, it began in the garden. Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That was all a lie. He is a liar and the father of it. And he's been lying to us ever since, and lies to the world every day, and deceives people and blinds their minds. Makes people think there's no God, or makes people think there's other ways to God outside of Jesus Christ. That all comes from the liar, the deceiver, who doesn't want people to believe because he wants them to follow him, which they're already doing until they get saved. So quite a revealing truth Jesus laid out for the religious leaders here. Thinking that because they were descendants of Abraham, they were good, they were going to heaven, everything was covered. And Jesus explaining that, no, God is not your father. Your father is the devil. And therefore you are following him. And he was a liar and the father of it. So it helps us to understand the unsaved a bit better, doesn't it? They're just following their father. They need to be saved. They need to be a new creature. They need to be adopted into God's family. And that can only happen if they'll hear the gospel and trust Christ. So your father, the devil. Lord, thank you for teaching us tonight.